Yeah, talking about liquidiv.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Japes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated, we'd have headaches, we'd be tired, yeah. Exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work, we'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover. Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Oh, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay, I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution! Are you ready?
Are you willing?
Are you Jables?
Oh, boy. Ooh. That was loud.
Loud and not great.
I feel like I was on pitch.
You definitely were.
There was something in that throat. You were awful. I mean, really.
Yeah, I know.
Not recording quality whatsoever.
Yeah, like I sound weird to myself. Bloop, 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 yeah. Bloop, bloop.
You get a huge, bloop, bloop, huge... Bloop.
What's new?
I know. You've got a huge goblet of wine. It is. I mean, it is like
is it bigger
Napa
than
Valley inside your fucking jar.
Coming for me, huh?
No, it seems like it's bigger than normal.
It might be.
What happened today? What happened that caused you to have that today?
What happened in life, in the world?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who doesn't want a big goblet of wine at the end of the day?
Was it Shia LaBeouf that did this to you?
What'd he do?
He got arrested again.
Honey pie.
Sugar bear.
Shia.
He went on it was close to like a Mel Gibson-ish rant in the back of this police car. It got released today. He got arrested in Georgia. My hometown,
What was he doing? Oh, he was in Savannah. I actually know he was filming with Yellow Wolf.
Shut the fuck up.
No, I'm serious. What did he do?
Really?
Yeah.
I love Yellow Wolf. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he called me. He was all, what up, Jess?
Yeah.
All, what up, Jess? I'm just filming with John Hawks.
Yeah.
And Shia LaBeouf. And I was all, what, dude? You made it. He's all, yeah, we made it.
Let's roll. Don't make me go pop the drum on you. I didn't know he was filming there. I figured it was something, obviously, because everything is shooting in Georgia now, which is great.
Now I want to hear the full story.
Boy, so he was so fucked up. And they've released the tapes of all of this.
Okay.
There's a photo too. And I'm gonna show it to you real quick.
Yeah.
He looks like fucking Jack Nicholson in The Shining towards this police officer. The police officer is just dying laughing. I mean, but the fucking conversation in the back of the police cruiser he's having with this officer, so fucked. I can't believe you would arrest one of your own kind.
Because
he's white.
Ooh.
So it's a white on white crime.
Easy, buddy.
Yeah. And then he was like, man, I'm going to get.
Fella?
You know how many fucking millionaire lawyers I have? So, I mean,
boy.
Yeah. He went down the whole fucking rabbit trail, like calling him a bitch, calling his profession a bitch.
Calling his kids
a bitch.
He was hanging out with Yella too much. You know what's funny? You say this now?
Like, now that you've said this, when you watch this, it almost seems like a rapper screaming at, not like Shia LaBeouf. It seems like a rapper screaming at this police officer.
Not to say that Yella would ever do that. He's just like a hardcore real dude that's like been through some shit.
What shit has Yella Wolf been through, by the way? I don't know much about his life.
I mean, he's definitely from like the slums
of Alabama.
Okay. Like, you know, like the white ghetto. But yeah, like real
white trash, super white trash.
Yeah. White trash, white ghetto. You know, white dude in the fucking black.
Was he a white guy in the black neighborhood?
Yeah.
Was that type of sitch?
Yeah. So that was just like, I feel like that was his real life. But now he feels to be more like, you know, he's sobered. He's like, you know.
Sure.
Doing his thing, like whatever. But I feel like if Shia hung out with him a little bit, he would just like completely take that on.
Transform into Yella Wolf.
Totally. Because Yella Wolf's just so cool. Shia completely wants to be him.
Right. Well, look, don't we all just want to be Yella Wolf?
At the heart of it? So true, dude.
At the heart of it all.
So true. That's funny.
Yeah. So, like, if you watch this, I mean, this has been going around. Like, it obviously got overshadowed by the, luckily, like, he owes McGregor and Mayweather a big,
dude,
hearty fruit basket.
Every celebrity should have gone out and done some fucking weird shit last night, because it's always
been the day.
That was gonna be the day.
Because it, Jesus, man, that's, I mean, we talked about it on the last show about me watching just the trailer, and I was like, I mean, we even went back and forth of like, man, I got sucked into this shit. Forget it now. I am, after this first press conference of Mayweather McGregor, I'm all in. My whole fucking body's in now.
You're slowly becoming like
It was more than I dreamed of, and God damn it. I like
when you're a little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my whole fucking shit.
Right. It's what every little girl dreams of.
People who see my interviews, like that, literally that's all I think about is like, oh, well, fuck. If I was a goddamn MMA fighter, that's exactly what I would have done today.
Right.
Treat like a whole goddamn circus.
Right.
It was I wept. I had one single tear. I was like, oh, I was on a treadmill watching it. I was like, God damn it, man. fuck.
Crying on
great.
The treadmill.
So good.
Been there.
We have a monster show tonight. So we're gonna get to the sponsors and then get into this, because there's some crazy shit going down all the way around. It's been dead for a couple days. And I'm tired of hearing about the fucking Russia thing. Luckily, back burner now. Like, I don't, we're done with that.
Yeah.
So we got some cool shit tonight to talk about. First up, sponsor wise, we got a little, straightrazors.com. Boy, a lot of people ax me. They axe me.
Sure.
Hey, how the fuck do you keep your skin so shiny smooth, so baby fresh?
Do they?
Everybody's like,
yeah.
Jesus,
yeah.
You look like the baby face fucking killer. And I'm like,
of course.
I know. Straightrazors.com. Straightrazors.com is the best in the biz when it comes to aftershave, cologne, shaving products. Their fucking dop kits are the jam. Huge fan of straightrazors.com. Use their shit every day. Their fucking cologne, their Smolder cologne and aftershave, by the way, is my end all be all. And there, a lot of people say, hey man, I'm not sure about using a straight razor. They have the new safety straight razors now, so it's fucking easy. You can just use that shit, and literally, it's the greatest shave of all time. I'm not gonna lie, it takes one or two tries to get used to it. Once you get used to it, shit, it's knocked off like a day and a half, 2 days off a shave in a week. You know?
Yeah. So does it make you feel more manly a little bit?
No, I mean, I've always felt like a real goddamn man.
Yeah, like you're at the peak of manliness, so you can't ever feel more manly. But I would imagine.
When you reach this mountaintop, now you're just trying
to stay on top. I would imagine shaving.
I'm
a woman, so I don't know. But I imagine shaving with a straight razor would be kind of like a, I don't know. It's like a hardcore fucking thing, right?
It's not. It's sweet. It's fucking awesome. Go to straightrazors.com. Get yourself some razors in a kit. Like we talked about in the last show, Amber Rose isn't using them, but maybe she should.
No, maybe she should.
Use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Cannot say enough fine things about straightrazors.com. Use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Next up, Jables. We got a lot of requests for you to do this next one.
What?
Strikeforceenergy.com.
Yeah.
But what was your do the
tastiest, tiniest little tin pouch?
Yeah, people love that. People love that.
With the best energy of all time. And just kind of urging you guys, because we all like to be on the ground level, right?
Yeah,
we all like to be a part of something before Oprah puts it on her favorite things list, right?
Yeah.
You get Strike Force. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, let's be the ones that were like, dude, we've been drinking Strike Force
Since day motherfucking one.
Now these fucking hipsters are all up in our Strike Force, dude.
Yeah.
So let people know, okay? Yeah. Let people know that
Strike Force Energy is the best. Let them know you were first. Go to strikeforceenergy.com. Get yourself a tasty, tiny little tin pouch. Literally, it's liquid. It goes in every single liquid you have.
Grape is back, you guys.
Yes.
Grape's
make
back
America
in stock.
Grape again.
Yeah.
Go to strikeforceenergy.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION. You get 20% off. Again, that's strikeforceenergy.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION. You get 20% off. And they have a fucking subscription.
Yeah.
And you need that.
Don't be fucking dumb and not get that.
Yeah, dude, you need a fucking subscription.
If you run out of Strike Force, it's like running out of gas past age 30.
Yeah.
It's like, you're fucking dumb.
You're a fucking loser.
You're a fucking loser because there are ways to prevent that.
Yeah.
Okay? Subscription, you fucking loser.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Strikeforceenergy.com.
Whoa.
You went real far.
I am
there.
Really sorry about that.
Revolution for 20% off. Last but not least, we have At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, the first ever romance novel for dudes. Jables.
No.
Oh, beautiful.
Getting better and better.
You are beautiful.
In every single way.
Oh, boy. A lot of people were pissed, by the way.
About
A Night She Cries. They said they went to the Amazon fucking Prime Day sale.
Oh.
They were like, I was hoping to get a discount on your book. And it said, look.
No dice.
Jeff Bezos.
I gave it to you for free.
Jeff Bezos was like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not giving you like any more off this piece of magic.
Right.
I'm on Amazon right now. It's $15.48 for the hardcover. Get the fucking hardcover.
That is fucking not bad.
It's almost
you guys.
It's almost like stealing it.
Definitely. It'll go back up too.
Look, if you want the funniest book ever written, by the Messiah, the man with the golden dick, that we're talking about, Ross Master Antonio Patterson, go to Amazon. We're gonna say go to Amazon.com because everybody said it's sold out in a bunch of bookstores. So I'm not even gonna risk it. Just go to fucking Amazon.com.
Just go to Amazon.
That shit'll be at your house in 2 days. At Night She Cries While He Rides a Steed. If you like Blazing Saddles and Airplane and like a bunch of fucked up shit.
And not being a loser.
Yeah, not being a fucking baby.
Man, I'm being really aggressive on these
I like
sponsors,
because
huh?
you watch the Mayweather thing.
It's true. I feel just, like that's fu- how you,
you
can
feel
just,
like you're in it.
I just feel like that's how you can be in life, right? Like, isn't that just like normal?
Oh, I wish it was.
I really
wish it was.
I know you do. There's
so many people I hate that it's just like, man, I wish you could. I wish you could talk to people like that. On the flip side, though, I enjoy being nice to people. I feel better about myself and my life when I'm nice to people and there's nice people around me. Fortunately, there's just a lot of dipshits in the world.
Yeah, it's true.
So when you're driving around.
It's true.
Like somebody pisses you off,
right.
You know, the words start flying.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, you start talking about rape with another man, and
ooh.
You know, that happens.
Whoa.
So
now listen, what was the first thing I said when you brought up this little, the Conor McGregor? I was like, they're really hamming it up. They're really going for it. Now, how do you feel about that statement? That no, they're not. That this is real life.
I think two things.
Okay.
I think two things are going on. Like, as I watched that press conference, each of them got angrier and angrier as it went along. And it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, man, fuck you. Fuck you.
Right.
You know, and then it turns serious
right.
and you're just like, oh,
you
shit.
You went below the belt. Yeah.
And then Connor's mic was cut. And they said when Floyd was speaking, and they said it was cut because I guess this is a rumor, by the way. I don't know. I can't confirm this, but they said that he was about to say, the only person you've knocked out in the last 20 years were the women you've dated. So whether or not,
but how did they know that?
I don't know. But I will say this: your boy Brendan Schaub did do the pregame thing for this. I saw it.
Yeah.
Star of Range 15. He was in, you know, put him in Range 15.
Cool dude.
Great guy. Mm-hmm. He did the pre thing for it, and they were talking about
for Showtime
about the trash talking that was going to take place back and forth. Both of them said it wasn't going to get this aggressive, and it did.
Brendan said it wasn't.
No, it was like, it'll be, you know, a show, but not like super. And it got personal.
Yeah,
it got
and personal. I think Brendan is Team McGregor, obviously, but like, well, that he's going to win.
So here's what they did on it. They put an MMA guy, and then they put that Paulie Maggiano guy from boxing.
Yeah.
So that way you have both, you know, aspects of it, but. It was fun. The whole thing was fucking fun. But yeah, after watching shit like that, you're like, fuck this, dude. Fuck you and fuck you. You start like...
You get into it.
Yeah. Plus, like, you know, I'd already had a fucking day already myself.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we can tell the audience. I don't give a shit about talking about this, but we're trying to get a new house.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, going through that loan process, which is always a nightmare. Because you sit there and you have these conversations with people for an hour and a half, and you talk about your fucking hopes and dreams and all that bullshit.
Right.
And you know that it's just going to turn out like, you know, like shit later. And you're just like,
yeah, it's like anything like that, right? Like the first meeting is like, hey, man.
Yeah. And
we can.
And if for the audience at home, I'll be totally straight with you because of what I do for a living. I've never gotten a traditional mortgage simply for the fact of being an actor, being a writer, being a fucking director and producer.
Yeah.
They all want to know, in particular, movies.
And a business owner. Yeah. Yeah.
So when you start off just as an actor, you start off doing movies. And, you know, I remember, way back in the day after like my first maybe 10 or 12 movies or whatever, you know, buying your first house in L.A., they want to know, well, great. What's your next movie going to be?
Mm-hmm.
I don't
know.
And when?
What's your steady income? Yeah.
And what's the box office going to be? Mm-hmm. And all the shit. And you're like, if I knew that, motherfucker, I'd be running a studio.
Yeah.
But you don't know. You don't know about anything in entertainment in this life. Mm-hmm. You know, look, same with podcasts and all that other shit. Like,
yeah.
You know, we make money off sponsors and everything else, but it's like, you know, you don't know how big your audience is going to be in 6 months or a year or whatever. Like, you know, this show is fucking blown up, but like, I didn't know that. I couldn't have predicted that when we started this, you know, 4 months ago, whatever. Like,
yeah,
I didn't fucking know that. So
and it really is hard for anyone.
Yeah, anyone in the entertainment
industry.
Even
Johnny Depp, like before, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
it's like.
Totally. And so,
you're going to have to buy this cash, buddy, because we don't know what your
everything
next...
essentially you do is in cash. So you sit there and like, you know, again, and this is the fucking Conor McGregor in me when I was watching the thing. I was like, fucking A. The guy had gone through all my shit. Saw me on the internet, what was IMDb, all that other stuff, and was just like, this is amazing. You should come and speak at this fucking entrepreneurs thing, you know, like you're a director and you have these books and this movies and your own company and all this. Like, it'd be amazing. And I was like, you know what? I'd love to. Are you going to give me this loan? I mean, literally, that was my question to him. And he goes, I mean, I get invited to like a brunch, like right off
boy.
The, oh yeah, yeah, the whole thing. And I was like, am I going to get this loan? And it was just like, well, you know, we're going to go through all the numbers. And I was like, great. Then I was like, well, we should probably hold off on that brunch because the last thing you want, and I was honest with him, I was like, if I don't get this loan and I go to that brunch,
you don't
want
to know.
I can fucking flat out promise you, you don't want daddy on stage to tell him what fucking real entrepreneurs are like. Because
what it really is like, don't try and get a house.
Yeah. If you are like a true entrepreneur out there trying to start your own company, trying to start all of your own shit.
You're renting.
Which, yeah.
You're renting.
Or, I mean, look, we own our shit now.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, fuck.
We own it.
Yeah, but we own it. We'd pay for it in cash, our house now. And it was just like, hey, man, it'd be nice to have a traditional mortgage. Keep a little more cash on hand.
Keep a little more liquid.
Yeah. But I said it to him and he was shocked. Like he was very surprised. And I was like, hey, man, you have a shocked look on your face.
Right. What do you think? You're not going to give me the loan and I'm going to come
Two things. One, you should probably go and check out my interviews on YouTube. Just right. of anything. Just check out the last 2 months.
Sure.
See how you feel about life.
Right. Then ask me again.
Then ask me if I want to be, if you want me to come on stage after not getting a loan. You should probably go back and listen to some of the podcast. Because when things don't really go my way.
Names are named.
Names are names. Numbers are out there. We're going full bone. We're putting every last inch in.
We're going, you know, CNN.
We're not just teasing the rim. We're putting right. every last inch in.
Right.
So I was like, why don't you run your numbers and then you fucking call me and then we can chat about
talk
that.
Talk about a brunch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if I get the loan, I will absolutely come to your fucking brunch.
Not only will I come to the brunch, I will speak like fucking Martin Luther King
mm-hmm. and on your behalf.
Selma. Yeah. And because I was like, you know, I just want to give you a heads up. Like I have a pretty popular show. And if this turns bad, like... There's a
Did
good.
Did you tell him that?
I was 100%.
Oh boy.
Here's the thing though, but I was 100% honest. I was just like, look, because that, you know, under income and all of that stuff, like that was one of the things. And he was like, oh mm-hmm. shit, how many listeners do you have? And I was like, I have this many. And he was
right.
like, oh fuck. Oh, and I go, and I go, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this, I mean, like, look, man, I should probably pre-warn you here. Like,
right.
You know, if this turns bad, it's probably gonna turn bad for you too, so you know, nothing I can really do about that. And he was like, he kind of laughed it off, but he was like, you know, at the end of it, he goes, no bullshit, this was the final line today. He goes, you know what, man, like all this stuff you do is so impressive. He's like, you were truly living the American dream. And I was like, am I? Because we're about to find out.
Yeah.
About to find out.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that went down. Then the, like, you know, I worked the rest of the day. Then the McGregor thing
okay.
came on. I was like, oh,
so it really
yeah.
hit you. It really hit you in the right
boy.
Spot.
Yeah, yeah. I was
proud. And as it probably hits everyone.
Yes.
In the right
and
spot.
And that's exactly what I was thinking was when I was watching that thing last night, the McGregor press conference and all that shit. I was like, God damn it, man. I bet you there's fucking, that's what all the hype is, all the excitement. Everything that everybody's amped about, they're probably going through the same shit at home. And they're just like, man, fuck. I wish I could stand on stage, wear a suit that's made out of pinstriped fuck yous. And that, by the way, that's real.
I love that.
So great that he did that, McGregor. And just tell the entire world, fuck off. And it was amazing. Like, I think right. that's what everybody wishes they could do.
It's true. Every man that's like Mayweather, the big fucking money Mayweather comes
yeah,
at
yeah,
you.
Boy. Yeah,
you just
yeah.
want to be like, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know,
there's a lot of metaphors in there.
Yeah, you look at Mayweather and it's like, you know, the taxes thing came out this morning of he owes 22.2 million in back taxes. And then McGregor's press conference last night, he was on welfare 5 years ago and has no issues talking about that whatsoever. And you're like, ah, shit. You're seeing like, I mean, just totally two different people. And you're like,
yeah,
fuck, man.
Yeah.
It would be awesome if the little guy just won this thing.
The everyman, yeah. the hardworking, not that Mayweather's not. I'm just saying like,
look,
the hardworking yes. blue collar, whatever, scrappy motherfucker. That's just like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, look, with Mayweather, I'm not going to say he's not hardworking. You don't get to 49-0.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen his training schedule. He goes nights and all of that shit. Like. Not to put myself in that same ballpark, but like writing wise, I would go late into the night, like those hours too. And it's like, it's a weird world to come in and out of, but that's the only way to accomplish a goal within that short amount of time.
Yeah.
Cause these books and scripts and all that shit are due same in a very similar time manner to fighting where you have like 3 months and it's like, all right, great. You're going to fucking do this and turn it in or you don't get paid. So Yeah, Mayweather works hard. I'm not going to take that away. He's just a fucking dick.
Right. So that's what I mean. It's like the big guy that like has all this money, flaunts it, uses his, and that's his controversy, right? That's right. The way that he gets paid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is acting like he gets paid. So, you know, it's just, it's awesome to see those two.
What the fuck is he doing with that money? What's he doing with that money? He got $250 for that Pacquiao fight. So that's what he owes the back taxes on. I was like, what the fuck did you do with that money, dude?
Yeah, but if you owe $22 million, that means you have a fucking lot more than that. So does that really bust him?
Why not just pay it? Because like,
fuck that.
I don't know, man.
Because fuck that. I'm not paying that.
Yeah, because like, he showed his check, and they don't... what I didn't know is they don't take taxes out first, which... In, you know, entertainment, they do where you're just like, oh, shit, before you get that goddamn check, like they're taking everything out of that.
It's a purse, right? So it's like.
Yeah. I mean, he pulled it out on stage. It's just one giant check. And you're like, fuck. Yeah. But, you know, not to go too far down that rabbit hole, because I could literally talk about this for fucking hours on every show until the fight happens, because I love it. And I'm amped about it now.
You should touch on it a little bit because, you know. It really hits
here's
you
the thing. There's
right place.
There's three more press conferences from here to August 26th.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 5 weeks and you need three press conferences, and they're doing a doc on Showtime about it. That's right. Oh, that's the one, by the way. So it is going to be on Showtime.
Okay. I still contend that they are hamming it up and they are doing a great job.
I think it's all fun and games for dudes until somebody says, go fuck yourself, you poor motherfucker.
Something like that, yeah.
Because he did say, dance for me, boy. That's how it started. McGregor to Mayweather.
Dance for me, boy?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's just an old, some say a racist slang, but I don't.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So look, it got heated fast, but sure. You know what else got heated fast? Like right after that, I was like, boom, bang. I've talked about this on the show before, how the excitement I've gotten in my life of reading all the Tarantino scripts.
Oh, yes. I saw this too.
He's almost done with his new one. And they're saying he's making like last passes now. And I'm like, oh boy, man. And when I heard about it, I was like, fuck you. That is awesome. The rumor is all over the town of Hollywood, that he's doing.
And we've got our finger on the pulse.
Yeah. That he's doing the Manson Family Murders as his next movie. And that's the script that he's working on.
It'd be amazing.
There's also another rumor. That he's already met with the actors for it.
Yeah, your girlfriend.
My girlfriend, Jennifer Lawrence, who I love. You know who the other one he's met with?
B. Pitt?
No, my other girlfriend.
Oh, who?
Margot Robbie.
Really? Both your girlfriends?
Both.
Margot Robbie would definitely be Tate.
Yes. So the rumor is that he's chatted with her about playing.
You definitely have a type,
Sharon Tate. And then with J Law, she's got to be playing like one of the Manson chicks, which would be dope.
Totally.
And then I guess talking to Brad Pitt, is he going to play Marilyn Manson?
I don't know.
All I kept thinking was, well, it doesn't matter because they're going to put him in it. Like, you know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah,
saying?
I'm just wondering what would he play one of
Manson.
The detectives?
No. Maybe.
Because they did they did do one where Duchovny played like the main detective.
Right.
And it was from that like point of view.
I would like that better than if he played Manson.
I don't want him to play Manson.
I don't either. I don't want to see him to play a fucking
War Machine.
Yeah, after War Machine. Yeah. I don't want to see him play a fucking character anymore. Especially one like this. All I kept thinking about was Brad Pitt and 12 Monkeys. So it's like, maybe he looked back at him and said, yo, I'll take you back to 12 Monkeys days and we'll try to figure this shit out. But man, I wish it was Sam Rockwell.
For Manson? Yeah. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Like,
but
that would be
the thing is,
dope.
The problem is he's going to have to be younger. So like you think of Manson now. Sure, there's all those people that can play him, but Manson at that time was actually a younger.
Do you know how old he was?
I mean,
during
I would
those
have
murders?
To look it up, but I think he was like 30s, maybe. I mean, it was.
He's one of those people, though. Like we talked about Tom Petty, where he's always seemed totally to look old wrong. To me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Well, look, isn't he fucking like 80?
He's 80 now. So what is that?
So what? Those murders were in 69, I think. So that would put him at, man, I put him at around, yeah, 30s. Put him in 30s.
So not young, but not Brad Pitt age. Sam Rockwell age.
Sam Rockwell could pull off late 30s still, I think.
I think he could. Yeah. But they might, there's probably maybe, you know, a whole nother world you can be looking into where you don't have to just be looking at these older actors. Like, it could be someone in their 30s.
It could be. Well, here's the other twist to it that I immediately thought. It could be a reimagining of it like Inglourious Basterds was of World War II.
Oh, yeah.
And then you create your own shit where like, but I don't know. I have no idea. But I'm excited about that. Tarantino and the fucking Manson murders.
Holy shit. Because he can do all kinds of weird stuff with it and it will be amazing.
Not only that, but like
he can take some liberties. So you're right. It could be
anything.
Fucking.
I can tell you this, when that script comes out, the day it comes out and I get sent it, I am going to fucking shite my jeans.
Shite my jeans.
I'm super fucking amped about that. The other thing, I guess the other reason why I'm amped about it is I know we were talking about the Defiant ones on the last episode. You know, I didn't, after watching the Defiant ones, I didn't know that Marilyn Manson, the singer, and Nine Inch Nails recorded in, they rented that house where she got.
Yeah.
What so the that's, fuck, bro?
Yeah. That's where they recorded the. What was that album?
But
anyways,
like two of them. They recorded or three albums in that motherfucker.
Which is like so perfect. Of course, they were like loving finding out that that's what it was. Like that did not deter them at all, right? Like
that made them even more amped.
They
were
like, yeah.
They were like, man, we found this like quiet, quaint place to fucking thing. We could chill out. It was a pool and a fucking yard. And they were like,
it's a little creepy.
Is
that
the Manson house? Yeah. Where's your intern? It was like, yeah. When I saw that, I was like, all right. And then I like, after seeing that on Defiant Ones and then reading about Tarantino's new project, I was like, okay, cool. So, you know, that house is still there. I mean, you know, they'll go back to shoot at that fucking house.
Of
like,
course they will.
You don't think anybody owns it now, do you?
I think someone has to own it. Who?
Well, somebody owns it, but they don't live in it.
No, I don't think so.
Would you live in that house?
No.
Yeah. It'd be fucked up, wouldn't it?
No. That would be fucked up. Like, yeah. I don't like that fucking
really
weird shit.
Up. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Creepy.
That was creepy and gruesome and like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Ugh. God damn it.
Would you live there?
No, I wouldn't live there. Okay. No, I wouldn't live there.
Okay. Would I record an album there? Maybe. Like, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, except but you have
they
to live there for
there.
Fucking
yeah.
3 months.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Or however long it takes you to record an album.
I kind of also seeing that movie, like in going back to Marilyn Manson, that album, like it was kind of good. It was like Dope Show or something.
Yeah.
Like,
look, so
it was
Nine Inch Nails,
kind of good.
Yeah,
like,
they were fucking great.
Pretty amazing musicians. Yeah. So as weird as they were, whatever you think about Marilyn Manson, and
I think it's all an act, but. You know, and they said it in the Defiant Ones where Transmitter was like, look, we were fucking pushing it on purpose. So, you know, I think in all of this stuff, like, but the music was great.
Yeah.
Even like listening to it again, you were just
I know.
Like, shit.
And for that
montage
that
anything.
They did, it was just like, yes.
Yeah. And that, like, I still feel, you know, right now, currently in that crop of like, I guess you would classify it as heavy metal, I guess. There's nobody cool doing shit like that right now.
No.
Like that inventive and new and fresh. And it's like, that's what I loved about that fucking documentary series was just like all of that shit that was going on was new and fresh and exciting.
It made me kind of depressed though, in
why?
A way.
Because you think
it's
we'll never...
all over. It's all over. The records and the like selling the CDs and the record companies and like discovering artists and fighting for them and, you know, renting a house and like recording your big album. Like It just seems all gone.
Well, you look at, like, you know, Chance the Rapper is a perfect example of, he is what today's artist is. He's independent, won't sign with a label, makes all of his money off of DistroKid and SoundCloud and shit like that. And it's like,
that's great.
It is. But you know, on the flip side of that, you don't have a label anymore who's going to say, hey, man, we're going to rent you a house. We're going to do this shit. But I can say it's so hard because I look at, you know, fucking what we've worked with some. We worked with a musician on 50 Can of Call Girl, big musician.
Yes.
And he said, you know, he had a gigantic hit song, sold 6 million fucking albums or whatever it was. And he goes, dude, and I go on a world tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he goes, I go on a world tour and I come back and they send me a bill for $900,000 from the label. And he's just like,
yeah,
you owe us for, like, listen, recording time, studio time, all that shit. And it's just like, ugh.
I know it wasn't great for the artist. Like, I know. But there's
some of them it was,
but I know it, like,
some of it was.
The climate was getting really horrible for them, which is why it is the way it is now. But it just seemed like I always feel that way, though.
Same here.
Like, I told you, I suffer from nostalgia where it's like I'm always a little bit behind the stuff that I think is, like, cool.
I don't suffer from nostalgia. And again, we've had this conversation. I don't suffer from it. It is really hard to make something new and inventive and creative and get it out there to a mass audience without some fucking giant engine behind you. And yeah, that, like, to a certain extent, that has been my biggest career problem for me personally. Is it's not that I'm, like, not the fucking best. It's just getting it out there in front of a gajillion people to be like, oh shit, this is awesome. And, like, watching the Defiant Ones with, like, Dr. Dre, like, I didn't know that nobody would buy the fucking Chronic album. Like,
crazy, right?
Crazy. And, like, you know, I have fuck a million scripts and shit and all of this stuff. And, like, it's always project by project. You never know. This next project that comes out, shit, that could be the one. I don't know. But I do know this. I'm stuck in that. I'm not stuck in the world. Like, I'm not stuck, and I don't want to say it like that. I've made my own choice, much like the musicians of today, to do this shit on my own. Where, I could have stayed and auditioned for goddamn Suicide Squad and all that stupid shit. But I didn't choose to do that. I choose to do this path because I think it's the correct one. But I don't know. I guess I don't know the right answer.
A time when there could be, like, purveyors of taste that would be like Jimmy Iovine, that would be like, this person, they're the one, you know, like these people that nurtured artists' talent and made them, you know what I mean?
Well,
like someone that knew what was fucking cool and what was going to break and, like, fought for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess. I don't know if that's the right.
Well, I think today your Jimmy Iovines are, they don't recognize the power they have, and they're just doing whatever the fuck they want. They're not really they're not excited or interested in breaking new talent.
Because it's not going to make them a shit ton of money.
Right. And
so that's taken out of the equation. Therefore, there's not that mutual, you know, you don't both get something from it.
Right.
Taken out. So the landscape is different. That's what I mean. It's just like, I'm always just like, oh.
So,
you know, Stevie Nicks is, like, hanging out in Tom Petty's basement. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that whole idea that all of the greatest are just, like, steps away from each other and, like, in this club making this cool music.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think now the people that are in power or in control aren't using it correctly, most of them. Like, you know. Like, comedy-wise.
Right.
The only one who can make a great comedy movie right now and push it through a studio and not go through a million rewrites and all that shit is Judd Apatow. Judd Apatow's doing stand-up right now. Stand-up.
And it's, because he can.
And that's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
But you take a guy like Jimmy Iovine, who was just out there, who was just like, man, I've got to fucking... It is going to tear me apart if I don't put new, awesome, cool shit out into the world.
Right.
Like, that's what I got out of that, where it's just like, dude, Judd Apatow has that kind of power where he could be fucking gassing out brand new comedies and breaking new people and doing all this shit. He's not.
What about the Big Sick?
He was a producer on it.
Right. But that movie got to where it was because Judd Apatow put his name on it because he believed in it.
It did.
So that's the exact thing that you actually say that he should be doing.
But one project every 3 years.
No, you're right.
Isn't enough.
But you can't saturate your brand either. You can't be like Judd Apatow. Like, you do have to choose projects that are going to be the best for.
But what did he do before that? Is my point.
Like The Small Thing? I didn't think he did. I thought
Trainwreck was Trainwreck his?
It was his, but he had a big hand in that. That wasn't right. Just like, I'm going to put my name on this for you guys to help you out.
Yeah.
Which is what he did with The Big Sick. He wasn't on fucking set.
So I would say once every 2 years now is what he's putting on a movie. And
that's not enough.
No.
Yeah.
It's not enough for the world because it's like, you know, you and I know the slate of comedies that's coming out and all the shit. It's going to be a fucking disaster for comedy for a long time, which sucks.
Why I'm so
dramatic. Dramatic. Too, where it's like dramatic dramas are a little different because they're time consuming, and the big guys in drama, it takes them a long fucking time to make it. So like, you take my favorite dramatic director besides Tarantino, obviously I fucking love Tarantino, but besides him is probably Christopher Nolan.
Okay.
He puts out something fucking dope once every 2 years because it takes him 2 fucking years to make a goddamn movie.
Right.
All the special effects and all the crazy shit in his movies. It's like, Jesus, man, he probably wants to kill himself after every one of these fucking movies.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, comedy wise, like Scorsese, these guys Spielberg. It just takes more people in power to either give other people power and help them and bring them along, or it takes them themselves to keep making shit. But, you're right to a certain extent of like, Judd Apatow has earned the right to do whatever the fuck he wants to do.
He is, but you're also right that he should be.
I know.
He should be this like I said. Well, you know. Whatever. He does it. He does it with girls. He did it with the show called Love on Netflix.
Yep.
So he actually does do a lot of projects like that. So I don't want to actually say that, but it isn't stuff that you would like.
It's not it's not true comedy where it's you know.
So he's always been a little bit outside the, you know, outside the normal comedy box. He's always kind of been
more emotional. Cable Guy and Anchorman and, I mean, fuck, man.
Yeah.
40-Year-Old Virgin, Superbad. Those are true comedies. Seeing Trainwreck was exactly to me what it was, but a train wreck. But but The Big Sick and This Is 40 and shit like that. It's I feel like I'm living in real life where it's just I want to see fucking cool shit, man. I want to see, Sacha Baron Cohen.
We are a house divided on that. But
yeah. And girl, you will like this though, because I just read an article about him, and he did say that his most polarizing figure that he's broken was, broken out was was Lena Dunham.
Most polarizing figure. Now that's not a compliment, right?
It depends. Because it polarizing just divides people. Like, you either love them or hate them. And
okay,
for her,
so then yes, it's just a it's just a statement, really.
Yeah. So I would looking back at his career, I'd say that's true. I can't remember anybody.
Nobody else
is hurt.
No, nobody. Everyone else is mostly beloved.
Yeah.
That he's broken out. Like maybe Jonah Hill for a second, but he's. No, did he do Jonah Hill? Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. No,
so maybe Jonah Hill for a second, but he's back. He's beloved.
Nobody's really disliked Jonah Hill.
He had a little second, right, where he was
being
a dick to people and he had to apologize a couple times and shit, but he's figured it out.
The weird thing is, Jonah, he could be the smartest guy on the planet. Seeing that comedy was going nowhere and he switched to dramas, you know?
Oh yeah.
Fuck. Who knows? Who knows, man? The other thing about fucking movies I wanted to bring up, because it's so weird. All of this shit is coming full circle, and I feel like we talk about it like 2 days before it actually happens. And it's like, Jesus Christ. So we talked about the meetings for the book, for Matt Best's book, and about that fucking agent literally laughing in our faces about, like,
yeah,
you can't play yourself.
Which is crazy, but yeah.
But it wasn't surprising. And like,
yeah.
But our buddy, a buddy of ours, a mutual friend of ours, Alex Scarlatos, who was one of the Paris terrorist attack stoppers.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped that train, that 517 of Paris. Clint Eastwood just announced that all of them are going to play themselves in the movie.
Fucking crazy, dude.
I lost my mind. And it's, look, I'm happy for Alec. That's great.
It's just like such a bold move.
Yeah. I look, put him in range 15. He's done, our sister show Drinking Bros with us numerous times. Good for him. It's fucking rad. It's just so crazy that, like, literally we just had somebody laugh in our face about a fucking veteran playing himself. And then Clint Eastwood was like, fuck it. We're
if anyone can do it.
Veterans. Yeah. It's like,
anyone can do it.
Shit, man. So it's it's just fucking wild to wake up and be like, man, I was just in this meeting for this, and like,
yeah,
literally wrote a book about
a
veteran.
Told,
and
yeah,
that the veteran can't play himself.
And I was told that doesn't happen, and that we don't do that.
And that literally was just the lead in a movie that was the highest grossing independent film of 2016. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. So there is some great people like Clint Eastwood,
yeah,
who are doing it. So
yeah.
Fucking A.
Yeah, because
good
you got to do something different with it, right?
No.
You can't just tell the story again. Like, what else can you do? Let's put the real people. You got to put something.
And
yeah.
What they did was, and this is cool. This has got to be the coolest thing ever. They're stacking the cast with other actors around them.
Perfect.
Very similar to what I did in Range 15.
Perfect.
Jenna Fisher is going to be in it.
Okay.
From The Office.
Mm-hmm.
Judy Greer, who we love Judy Greer.
From
come on, Judy Greer's been in fucking goddamn everything. Californication was what I was one of my faves of hers. My personal fan fave of Judy Greer.
Oh, and she's like still hot.
Yeah,
still
yeah.
got it. Sin
still got
City.
It, but it's like, yeah, she's been in
okay.
A million things.
I see her in my mind.
But
I
my favorite
her.
Character was when she played the prostitute on Californication for Hank. She just kept coming back. She was just always the cool prostitute.
Oh, yes. Okay. Like, yes.
So they are stacking the cast with people around them, and it's going to be great. I'm amped for them. And I'm amped for that project.
That's sweet.
Yeah. And they're going to.
Well, then there's maybe some hope.
One sliver out there. Good
hey.
For them. Good
hey,
for them.
Maybe.
Fucking,
we'll see.
Fucking Alec. That's great.
Yeah.
And you know what? Here's a fun fact about that fucking. Since we're talking about it, here's a fun fact about that. They were with CAA. They were having a hard time shopping that project. Mm-hmm. After this, we did a couple shows together. After the show was over, he was like, hey, man, can you help out with this? And I was like, where did they send this? And they did. CAA had sent it out a lot of places. It didn't get picked up for whatever reason. They said, fuck it. Fired CAA, hired a lawyer, and then took it up on their own. And just them and this lawyer sold this project.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, smart. You want to talk about, I know, but it's
talk
that
about
never
getting
happens.
Rid of, yeah, talk about
never
getting rid
happens.
Of all the purveyors of taste, which
boy.
Agents are supposed to be.
No, they're the worst.
They're the worst. But
I will say this. I cannot wait to wake up tomorrow morning and make these calls and be like, hey, guys, so remember that little thing
yeah.
we met about last week?
Just Conor McGregor their ass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because now you have no excuse. Like, now it's like, all right, cool. Because Matt's a fucking bona fide actor, too. So it's
right.
It's going to be pretty funny.
Right.
Really looking forward to these convos.
Get hyped up.
I know. No, I feel
watch
I,
that press conference again.
I feel good about it. I'm just amped that we're not talking about Russia, you know?
Yeah.
Jesus
There's no
Christ.
Point. There's no point.
So fucking, I, again, could care less.
We're over it.
the election was fucking 9 months ago.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore.
I don't care.
I don't care about Hillary's emails anymore. I don't care about Russia anymore. I don't care about any of it. It's over. It's over. This is fucking 9 months ago. Lastly, by the way, and this might be a little super heavy Hollywood episode, but it, again, the Defiant Ones and all that shit, they're doing a documentary on Spielberg.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. That he's like, he's a part of, and he's going to.
Who's doing it?
You know, I'm not sure.
HBO?
Yeah, it is HBO.
Oh, if HBO's
it
doing
it. It is HBO.
Forget it, yeah. Dude.
But it's like, dude, does he just direct himself in that, or?
How do
you, how'd you like
can
to
he,
sit down?
Yeah, is he going
to
sit in the edit? No.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you do if you're the director opposite him? I would fucking shit my pants. If somebody said, hey, man, if HBO called me and said, hey, Ross.
Yeah, like, does he pick the person?
For your next project, yeah, we want you to direct this fucking movie. Little Doc.
Right. No, Bix.
Who's it on? Steven Spielberg. You would be second guessing every shot. You'd be second guessing all your lighting. You'd be second guessing your edits, your music, your score.
Okay, then is it gonna be somebody like a fucking like Ron Howard? Do you know what I mean? Like someone that
you would. It would have to be, right?
Yeah, because it couldn't be a fucking like up and coming new anybody. They would shit would be coming down their pant leg.
It just got announced now.
Who is
it? It says, "Oh, it's going to be produced by directed by directed and produced by Emmy-winning documentarian Susan Lacy."
What else did she do?
Don't know.
Does it say?
I don't know. I'm gonna try to scroll, but she's gonna look. She's gonna do it, but good on you, good on you, Susan.
Yeah,
boy, she's I would not. Be... You know he's gonna have final pass at that, right?
Is it? It's not. I guess
you got to go into the edit on that. You have to.
I don't know if he does.
If it was your documentary about your life, wouldn't you want to control every aspect of it?
I think I would want to control every aspect before shooting. So, which he probably knows this, is like you get the best person.
Yep.
For the job, you do all of your prep first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to look at her stuff. He's going to talk to her first. He's going to, you know, and then you go. And then you just go. You have to. Can't get into that fucking craziness. It's about yourself. Like you can't objectively. No.
Yeah.
I think he's smart enough, and I think he's old enough that if he was a younger man, maybe. But I think he's been doing it long enough that he knows to do your pre-production, hardcore pre-production, and then you're good.
Boy, man, that I would. It's a job you don't turn down. But it's also
for
a
sure.
job that you fucking shit your pants for 2 years on. And you're just like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh,
no.
This is the big one. This is the big one. Yeah. I mean, look, you know, he'll have the best fucking guest of all time. You know, acting wise, to come and do that documentary.
Oh
too.
My God.
Cruise.
Dude, the access that they'll get to shit.
Will
so,
be
like,
unprecedented.
Footage, behind the scenes footage. Like, that's what he'll also do.
Very,
probably
very,
like,
very similar to the Jimmy Iovine thing.
Totally. Like, the stuff that they were able to get.
Boy.
Unbelievable. It's almost like, there's some stuff in that documentary that it's the first time you're ever seeing that behind the scenes. And that's.
Crazy.
This day and age, that's pretty hard to find. It's hard to find like a behind the scenes of like Petty or something that you haven't seen yet, or Stevie Nicks that you haven't seen. You know, like,
yeah.
Don't you feel like you've seen all of that one place or another, all of their behind the scenes, like,
yeah,
studio work and all of that? Like, it's crazy to see that there's more stuff out there,
that
you haven't seen.
Yeah. I felt that way when I saw Cocksucker Blues, the Rolling Stones movie that's been banned in America and never been seen here.
Oh, I've not seen it.
Really?
No.
Oh, boy.
The Hurricane, whatever. Hurricane,
What? Yeah, Crossfire Hurricane.
Crossfire Hurricane was, I mean, raunchy enough.
Yeah. You saw a little D&B.
Yeah, man.
Mixed balls.
Minute one.
Not only that, but he's just fucking doing coke off of a knife, off of a fucking switchblade right before the show.
Oh, like, yeah.
It was amazing. The access they fucking had on that goddamn thing.
Insane.
But Cocksucker Blues is a whole nother level where
I've not. What's the deal with
you
that?
You physically see both of them fucking girls on a private jet together. Where you're just like, what? What is going on?
Why was it not?
That reason.
So, and they had nothing to do with the making of that. Mick,
you
and,
know,
and
there was, Mick always wanted to do movies. So he had this thing to do, documentary or whatever. The problem was the cut that came out was like so graphic that it was just like, hey guys, this will ruin your life. But it, so they banned it and it was only released in like Europe. And I mean, they show him shoot Keith Richards shooting up like over and over again. And like, it was just fucking crazy.
Holy shit.
Locking himself in bathrooms, playing these riffs. And like, he'd always carry around this tape recorder. Because he would nod out. He would get so fucked up on heroin, he would forget what he was playing. So the next morning, he had a tape recorder of everything that he played, and it was just like, it's Satisfaction. It's like the opening riff of Satisfaction. You're like, what the fuck? What the fuck? So, I mean, it was awesome to see. And at the time I got it, I only had a VCR tape of it. And we had to give it back to this person, one of my best friends was working for this huge music video director at the time. She was just like, I want this video to be like Cocksucker Blues and crazy or whatever. She was like, somebody get me a copy of it. My roommate was in charge of getting this copy of it for. So anyway, she was like, I want it on my fucking desk. So they had, through production, somehow tracked it down. And it got overnighted, I want to say from Germany. But it was,
oh my God.
Yeah, and it came in the middle of the night. So it came at like 8:30 at night. Like the UPS guy knocked on the door and was just like, hey, I've got this, you know, and we had to sign for it. And it was just in one single solitary VCR tape of Cocksucker Blues. And it was just like, and it didn't have to be on this woman's desk till like 9 a.m. the next morning. So, I mean, we were waiting, tracking the package. Like it was like waiting for Christmas. And we stayed up and watched Cocksucker Blues and we were like, oh my God, we watched it like twice in a row. And then we had to give this one solitary copy back. I mean, I was trying to go to find a place that was open in LA to get a copy made. And then, but back then it was like, I want to say 2001 or 2002 when I watched it, I was like, man, I went in and they were like, it's going to be like 12 hours. Or I called. That's what I called. And they were like, it's going to be 12 hours. And I was just like, oh, it's 8:30 now. It's due on the desk at 9.
God.
Could I make it there when I have a copy? And it was like, my buddy didn't want to get fired. And yeah. Anyways, long as we got to watch it a couple times.
That's your dream.
Oh, you know me. You know me.
A band music doc.
You know me. You
Christmas.
Know me so well.
Anyways, I was just looking at this lady. She looks like a mom.
Which?
The Susan Lacey.
Okay.
Looks like an older mom.
Okay.
But she did like Bob Dylan, No Direction Home, and American Masters of like everybody.
Gotcha. Okay.
So she's done like B.B. King, Joan Rivers.
I like those American Masters. All right. She's good. So,
okay. Is she good enough?
It depends on what direction you're going in.
No.
If you're going in the American Masters direction, then that's the right choice.
All right.
Because if it's just going to be him and clips and, you know, whatever. But I mean, look, this Defiant one's changed the fucking game.
I would get. No, if someone was doing a documentary on me,
yeah.
I would get whoever did the Defiant. Like,
the problem is
everyone from the Defiant.
Watching
ones.
That doc, I can tell you to a man or a woe man that was probably 2 years of editing.
For sure.
So,
for sure. And it was a lot of shooting as well.
Boy.
Even for those interviews,
imagine trying to line up those interviews of all those rock stars? Fuck off, dude.
God.
Springsteen, Bono, Petty, Eminem.
It would take you that long to get all of them on camera.
When did NWA, the movie, come out? Was it last summer?
Yes.
I think it was 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe 3 years. They've probably working on that doc for 3 years.
For sure.
To be honest with you.
For sure.
But with that, we'll get to the revolutionary figure of the day. The revolutionary figure of the day is a man named Sidney Sheinberg. Born January 14th, 1935, as an American lawyer and entertainment executive, served as the president and COO of MCA and Universal Studios. He is credited with discovering Steven Spielberg.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. I sound like... I sound like Susan Lacey.
Yeah. Dateline.
Wow. Isn't that great for him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for him.
So he did
that. Ties it all together, because then that's somebody that discovered someone, and
yeah,
that shit doesn't happen anymore.
I know. I know.
I'm going down a depressed route today. I'm sorry, you guys.
That's fine.
I got nostalgic.
Yeah, it's a great show tonight. I don't mind getting nostalgic about shit. I just, you know,
it's hard. I'm not always like that. Like if I get into it, I'll be like, ah, man, it used to be so fucking cool. But for the most part, you know, things are good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'm
no, look,
great.
Things are fine.
You know,
but this will be the last. I don't know. We'll put a cap on this nostalgia thing for you. If you go back to the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, up until the 90s, I would say.
Don't mess with the 90s.
Exactly. Even to like the first half of the 2000s,
yep.
I don't think shit got really stale. It seems like, or boring, or fucking too precious snowflakey wise for like the last 10 years. Each decade you were doing something different. Something different was happening in music. Something different was happening in film, and then music and film in the last, I would say within the last 10 years, it's just kind of rehashed. It's kind of boring. It's kind of fucking, you know. I think almost in a way, music-wise, it's going to take these guys, like I was saying, like Chance or fucking Young Thug, or these guys to make their own shit. It's going to take a bunch of people to get us out of that funk and make cool shit again. And also, I'm still waiting for another fucking, I know we've talked about this before, still waiting for another cool rock band. There's got to be some kids in a garage somewhere fucking dreaming up or playing the next cool shit somewhere.
Yeah, but what's their incentive?
But like movies wise, you know, it was the same way. Like, dude, you know, 60s had great shit. 70s is where you were like,
oh yeah.
All the 80s movies are still awesome and hold up.
Right.
90s, it was still fun, and you know, you still had some fun shit, and then it just kind of, you know, veered off into remakes and all that other shit. It's going to take somebody cool out there to make cool shit, which, look, I've been fucking trying to carry that goddamn shovel up the hill for
up the fucking poop hill
for the last 10 years. So is it me or somebody else? Who knows? I don't know. I can say that I'm trying, and I know there's a lot of people out there trying. We'll see what happens or who breaks out of this shit. But the only one that's different to me is television, by the way, where you know, because I want to make a point that not everything is shitty now. TV is the best it's ever been.
Killing.
The best it has ever been. And like, dude, we are living in
the best possible
age of television. I just saw a fucking trailer for Stranger Things 2 today, and I was just like, oh
yeah.
Shit.
Oh, yeah. That's where the cool shit's fucking going down.
So, look.
But that's where the money is. Now, listen.
I know.
You follow the money, you're going to find the cool shit.
It's true.
You know, because you need incentive. What are you hungry for? Nothing? Like, come on.
What are you hungry like the Dick Wolf?
Yeah, what are you hungry for fucking whatever? Puff pastry?
Yeah.
No, you want to get fucking paid.
I know.
That's what you dream. That's where your dreams like.
Hey, look, if you can get paid for making cool shit, that's the dream.
Exactly.
But television wise, right now we are living in the fucking golden age. So enjoy it, because this is the best it's ever been. I thought, like looking back on all the like the decades, 80s was kind of fucking. It was like TV wise, you were like meh. So it was some good sitcoms and shit like that.
Right.
You know, 90s started getting a little better. You know, and then your friends and all that other,
yeah,
all that other stuff. Now, you know, fuck, man. Sopranos? I think Sopranos kicked it off, where it was just like, oh shit, and now we're in the danger zone. It's awesome. So TV is fucking rad.
Yeah.
Movies and music need to catch up. That's about it.
What was that? Snowfall? Snowfall's the new fucking jam too, you guys.
Yeah, we should watch that on FX the other night. God damn, that was good.
Fucking A.
So there is cool shit going on.
You're right.
It just needs to, movies and music need to fucking catch up is
Again,
all.
There's no money in those.
Well.
So there's not going to be.
There are a few people still making money.
Not off cool shit. Movies. Not off cool shit.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I'm not going to completely shit on it. And I'll hold out hope.
Okay. I like that optimism. I really do. And I think that's a great place to leave the audience.
Yes. And I, by the way.
Positivity.
And books wise, like shit. I didn't think I'd get
true.
To. I didn't. Never in a million years.
It's another area.
Did I ever get to dream that I'd be doing this type of crazy shit. Because if you look at A Night She Cries.
The Asian podcast. I mean, shit, you guys. That's where the cool stuff is.
Podcast is dope.
Books
are dope. Like, dude, there is still people taking chances out there. Because again, A Night She Cries While You Rise to See. One of the craziest fucking things ever. They let us and a bunch of actors do the fucking shit. The audiobook. Which is, that never happens. And then with Matt's book coming out, like, God damn it, man. That is super aggressive. So there is some cool shit going on. But for the Jables, who is super uncool, I am Ross Patterson. I'm kidding.
I'm the fucking coolest motherfucker you're ever gonna meet, and you know that's true. What are you fucking new to this? Shit.
Thanks for listening to The Revolution. Good night, everyone.
Good night.